Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
In Louisiana, a mass shooting in New Orleans leaves one dead and 11 injured. In North Dakota, a woman is rescued after texting her employer to take a personal day due to being kidnapped. And an Uber driver shot dead by an 81-year-old man. And Mike has those details. These stories and more coming at you today, Friday, April 19th, on Real Life, Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Hey, guys, happy Friday.
Friday.
It's April 19th.
I'm playing my garden.
So April 19th. You're planting your garden?
I tilled it up last weekend. Yeah, you cannot hold. I bought me a really good tiller last year or the year before. You can't hold a tiller. Can't really run a tiller and drink a beer at the same time. They don't. That's some bitch that beats you to death. And you four beers in and you're trying, so you just upset it when you make a lap.
That's you need it. One of those things those idiots wear at the games.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah. I'd be real fucked up. I'd be passed out in the garden by the time. Yeah. But I think I'm about a week or two come late, but I'm going to get the plants in, get them going.
Yeah, it's about that time.
It's that time.
Awesome. Yep. So April 19th?
April 19th.
Yeah, it would have been my 38th anniversary if my first wife hadn't turned out to be a complete bitch.
Well, so see, April the 8th, we share that. April the 8th was always going to be my freedom day.
That's your freedom day. Well, that's the day you got out of it.
Crazy motherfucker, yeah.
God, you know, and I don't know what that date was. I should know what that exact date. I know what year it was, but I don't know what exact date I was set free.
I left and got me a place down in Spanish Town, like an old crack house. And I had a box spring and a mattress. And I went and bought me a big TV for back then, like a 42-inch that were very expensive, and a recliner. And every day I come in from the state police, I stop at the Spanish Town grocery, get me a 12-pack of beer, and go sit in my chair. I was the happiest motherfucker in the world.
You were like, what was it, the jerk, where he's like, all I need is this paddle ball, and that's all I need.
The jerk.
In this 12-pack of beer.
You remember those cans? The guy was shooting with the silencer, and when he was doing the oil service, and the cans were popping, he said, "These cans are exploding." Steve Martin, people. Go check it out.
God, that was great, man. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know how the fuck we got on that.
I don't know how you got there either. But I'm going to watch this weekend the NCAA Gymnastics Championships.
You can do that. I'd tell you something better to watch. Talladega 500, baby.
Yeah.
I went there for a bachelor party, my bachelor party, and it's the greatest show on earth besides Bourbon Street. The party in the infield.
I've never been to Talladega.
Oh, my God. Nudist thing on Saturday night. All the RVs. I'm talking about best cooking. I mean, hey, The girl showed the – I shouldn't even say all this on it, but it doesn't matter. Everybody that's been knows. They're – no strangers showing their boobs all the time. And nobody gives a shit about the race. I mean, it's going on around you. It's 37-degree embankments, two-mile track, and you're just in there. Shout out to Gene Welch, my buddy that's from there. We stay at his lake house. But the just a hell of a good time.
Let me call my travel agent.
Yeah. Call your travel
agent. But watching it, you can't get that. It's like – going to the Kentucky Derby, you never see a horse. Absolutely. You know, you're drinking mint juleps all day.
But what you do is, so you go one time and spend all the money going one time, and then every time it comes on, you put someone on the grill and get drunk anyway and relive the memory. I'm there by osmosis.
So I had a chance at one point. There's I don't know what it's called today, but it used to be called the Motor Racing Network, where they were selling a package to broadcast on radio the entire racing series.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm listening back to what it's going to sound like on radio. And, I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, they do all the NASCAR races.
No, I know they do.
And you're right. You can't see anything. But
I walked – I just couldn't understand how anyone would follow – a race on radio, because all you're doing is hearing, the sounds of a Speed Racer and the Mach 5 going by.
I get that. But let me tell you the difference, and we'll go back to Livy Dunn, because I always like to talk and think about her.
I didn't mention Livy Dunn. I just said I was going to watch some gymnastics. Well, tells me where your mind is. I want to talk about Livy Dunn.
When
let's
say gymnastics, two things pop in my mind: Mary Lou Redden and Livy Dunn.
Yeah.
Really?
Other than that, I don't give a fuck about gymnastics. Although my nephew is like ranked in
and Livy Dunn. She was very sick recently. She almost passed away. She came through it. But what were you going to say?
I forgot what I was going to say.
Something about.
Oh, NASCAR. Let me tell you. But the Louisiana, they were supposed to build a track here in Livingston Parish. And that, 30 years ago, and the powers that be didn't want it in. And so it went somewhere else. But when I lived in Tennessee and all these different places, shit, people would be driving around with their racers' flags on the car. Like you see the LSU flags and stuff. And you go to the bars and watch the race and stuff. You used to think there's their mama and daddy's racing around the track. Yeah. They take that shit serious.
They do. Yeah. They do. But I don't get it on radio. But now that you've brought up Livy Dunn, I mean, she's a senior. This is it. This is the last. And I don't know. I mean, I know she's a good gymnast, but I know LSU is a very good team, but I don't think she's like a finalist in any of these events for NCAA.
My prediction is pain. And whatever she does, she's going to do it well. Yeah. It doesn't matter. We can speculate.
Off track again.
Speculate. Whatever she does, she's going to be successful at it.
I watched Ivan Drago the other day.
Yes.
It was on. You know what he says before the first fight?
I will break
you. No, he says, you will lose.
You will lose.
Oh, yeah.
You will lose.
You will lose.
But Livy Dunn, what's she going to do after? That
doesn't matter.
It does matter.
She's going to get paid. Well, I'm going to tell you what she's going to do. She's going to get paid. Whatever she does, she's going to get paid.
Okay.
What do any gymnasts do after, though? I mean, really?
I mean, they can become
Olympians,
but she's not. But she could be. A sportscaster doing that. I mean, but I don't know if she has the talent to do that.
Million and one odds that this prediction is going true. Whatever she does, she's going to make more money than all three of us put together.
100%.
I think that's very, very possible. I don't think that's an automatic, because look, this is a very weird thing where, and we see it a little bit in the Caitlin Clark thing as well, but with NIL,
there's no comparison.
With NIL, no, it's a very different thing, okay? But we see with NIL where these athletes in college can make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Livy Dunn is sort of very artfully towed the line between being an athlete and a sex symbol and selling her persona again, well, towing the line because she's wearing the leotard she wears when she competes as a college athlete, but she knows she's got this million following of young men who mm-hmm. are infatuated with her. But where do her talents take her next? Because in a dark view of things, it could be, well, she needs to go from being R-rated to a stronger R. I don't think she's a runway model.
I don't know if I've ever told y'all my rules on my care level on how other people, how much money they make or what they think of me or whatever. My rules are if I'm not sleeping with them, I'm not having share the same bed. I'm not having sexual intercourse with them, and we don't break bread together, or I'm not buying the groceries. I don't give a fuck what they think or what they do. I mean, I don't wish them harm.
Right.
But what she does after college really doesn't matter to me.
Well, it's not going to impact you, but you don't have an interest, so...
No, so fuck what she does.
We can get right to crime. I just think it's a very interesting thing, and the audience gave us great feedback when we talked about Kim Mulkey a few weeks ago.
I'm not saying that your thought process isn't valid to you. It's not valid. I don't care.
No, and I think your rules are good ones. If you're not... sleeping or having sex or buying the groceries, whatever, you don't need to give a shit.
Right.
I just have a natural curiosity because this sort of thing has never happened before where somebody becomes wealthy in college that way, and now they're going to be out of college. And what does that mean?
Let me say this. I've seen this from other athletes that are in a similar position as Livy Dunn in different sports. Some of them actually went to the NFL, didn't make it for whatever reason. Tommy Hodson stands out in my mind. Mm-hmm. Tommy Hodson is now a insurance salesman in Baton Rouge. What you have is a name, and that name has value. So sales would be the field to go into. Whether it's – I mean, think about Livy Dunn as a realtor. Or a realtor, as they say. Think about that, though. That's someone that a lot of people would buy a house from just because they bought it from Livy Dunn. You know, her name matters. Plus, she's made millions. Yeah. She could take the money she's already got, invest it, and probably make a good living.
But I don't think a traditional sort of – I don't know her. I, for all I know, she's got a plan already to have her own real estate agency, but I don't see that. I think it's going to be an interesting question because the environment she's been in, and I'd say the same thing for Caitlin Clark. I mean, she goes to the WNBA. She just signed this contract, and you know the internet's going crazy over how poor the economics are in the WNBA, but that's just the fact of the WNBA. Nobody goes to the games, nobody watches the games, and there's no economy. But, you know, she's – her rookie deal, she's not earning $100,000 in a single year off of her salary. And so you look at that, and Caitlin Clark had one more year of eligibility at Iowa. She could have gone back to Iowa, and in the next 12 months in Iowa, she'd have made a fortune in endorsements, gotten back to the NCAAs again, and who knows what – you know. So you look at her and you go – she could absolutely make more money in the next 12 months, stay and put where she was, but she's decided to go into the WNBA. And now in the WNBA,
but she's get those endorsements.
She's already getting it.
She will get most of them, not what
she's got. Nike and everything else came out today.
But she's not in Iowa anymore for that. But it's now that she's there.
True crime.
She's going to change. Sorry,
we 13 minutes in.
Well, stop.
I'm sorry.
God damn it. No.
To be continued.
The View and the Today Show get to do this shit and we don't. Okay, I'm sorry. But Caitlin Clark, if I was running the WNBA, I would be going to all the refs. Okay, nobody touches her. It's a foul. Okay. Nobody touches her. It's a foul. I'd be going to the other teams and going, don't you dare guard her. Okay. And she's 30 feet out. Don't you dare try to block her. Because they need her to become that big a deal on a professional level in order to take that sport from a loser to a winner. And that's going to go against all the other women in the sport who want to beat her and beat her up and be real physical with her and everything. It's going to be fascinating to watch. I'm fascinated to watch the business aspect of it as it evolves and just the human element piece of it. And I think these two names, which probably no one mentions other than on the show 14 minutes in the same breath, I think those two names are going to be mentioned in the same breath moving forward, because I think they're going to be very relevant comparisons. Caitlin Clark and Livia Dunn, you heard it here first, and now to true crime.
Yes, time for true crime, time for Friday.
All right, and we've got a pretty bizarre story coming out of North Dakota to lead things off today. Anthony Peterson, 39, has been charged with unlawful possession of a firearm and terrorizing with a dangerous weapon. So let's get into the story. A North Dakota woman who was being held hostage for 3 days has been rescued after she texted her boss while in captivity. Anthony Peterson, as we told you, was arrested. Police responded to a Fargo, North Dakota home after the woman sent her boss a text message claiming she had been kidnapped by her ex-boyfriend and would not be able to come to work.
Nice of her.
Now, how nice of her.
That text 911 that.
You're right. Well, she wanted to make sure, I guess, that she got paid for her day off or whatever. But her employer promptly notified authorities, who then dispatched officers to the scene. When officers arrived at the residence, it was the woman who opened the door, and she was rescued safely from the scene. The woman, whose name and age have not been released, told police that Peterson had held her hostage at gunpoint in her home and did not let her leave the residence since Friday. While interviewing the woman, police found Peterson asleep on the couch and in possession of a handgun. The gun was stolen, and Peterson is not allowed to have a firearm in his possession. He was a felon. Right. Peterson, who is from Lakeview, Minnesota, had several convictions in his home state between 2003 and 2023. The convictions included violating a protection order on 3 separate occasions and stalking and domestic assault. He was also charged with assault in Fargo in 2011, and that case was dismissed in 2019. He pled not guilty in that case. Following last week's arrest, Peterson was also facing charges for stolen property and felonious restraint. Fargo police said in a statement, all of that information, court jail records show he has not been charged with those offenses. So there you have it.
So pretty much I would think the rules for kidnappers package would come, and rule number one would be, do not let the kidnapped victim have a communication device.
Yeah, you would think, right?
He's sleeping on the couch, right, and he's giving her a phone, right, and she's kidnapped.
Maybe he just thought she wasn't going to do shit.
I think that guy needs some fucking banjos.
And was sleeping, yeah, he would qualify. Banjos. And was sleeping on the couch with the gun. So, and I'm sure this woman felt very intimidated. This guy sounds like a piece of shit, even in his past, but bizarre situation. You would think she would have dialed 911, but she did call her boss.
I'll tell you what,
that's someone that's not losing their job.
Yeah. She might get employee of the month.
Yeah, jeez.
That's as dumb as some of the stuff we saw in Fargo. Remember Fargo?
Yeah.
William H. Macy?
Yeah.
The car salesman?
Yeah, when they kidnapped him all and accidentally killed her or whatever. Yeah.
I need to watch that again. I haven't seen that in years.
Sick of being upsold at gyms? My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
We're going to go to Vietnam.
Vietnam.
A court in Ho Chi Minh City, which used to be called
Ho Chi Minh Trail.
Saigon, Woody for 20.
You know all about Full Metal Jacket.
Yes, Platoon. You do.
Let me hold time.
Choke yourself.
Here, Alabama Black Snake.
A court in Ho Chi Minh City has found a 67-year-old billionaire.
What?
Billionaire guilty of diverting funds from a big commercial bank there. The fraudulent activity, which spanned over a decade, led to the loss of $27 billion.
Dang.
Trung Mai Lan, a Vietnamese billionaire and renowned real estate mogul, is the woman behind the sophisticated scheme. The sentence for such an offense in Vietnam, anybody?
Guillotine.
It's death.
Hanging.
It's death. I'm not exactly sure how they're going to do it. But yes, the sentence is death. The court ruled that Lan's actions gravely undermined public confidence in the country's financial systems. As the chair of the Van Thin Phat real estate conglomerate, she was implicated in a sophisticated scheme that operated for over a decade, from 2012 to 2023. The fraud involved the approval of loans to non-existent companies, resulting in losses that many fear will be impossible to cover. So created this huge number of fraudulent loans that were never going to be paid back, and did it through a very sophisticated network of banks. So Vietnam has recently intensified its efforts to combat corruption and restore integrity in various sectors by targeting high-profile individuals, and the conviction of Lan and her co-conspirators underscores the new commitment, along with her husband, whose name is Eric Chu Nap Ki. And he's a Hong Kong-based property magnate. She was indicted along with a group of 85 other co-conspirators. The CEO of Van Thin Phat, who is Lan's niece, was sentenced to 17 years in prison for her involvement in the fraud. Additionally, a former central bank official implicated in the scandal received a life sentence for accepting bribes in the whole thing. Overall, authorities seized over 1,000 properties, so 1,000 different pieces of real estate, and significant amounts of cash connected to the fraud activities of Lan and her accomplices. 70 individuals, including her and her husband, have been incarcerated. Evidence presented during the trial demonstrated how Lan abused her influence over the Saigon Joint Stock Commercial Bank by funneling funds to shell corporations in Vietnam, Hong Kong, and Singapore. The misuse of funds not only personally enriched Lan, but also destabilized the entire banking industry in Vietnam. Despite claims from her defense that Lan only held a minority stake in the bank and had no official banking role, testimony from major shareholders revealed that she effectively controlled over 90% of the bank through proxy, so swing and a miss. This established her as the de facto owner. Her defense, which argued her limited understanding of legal and banking operations, failed to sway the court's stringent verdict. The complexity and magnitude of her fraudulent activities exceeded previous financial scandals in Vietnam, attracting considerable domestic and international attention. It is the largest fraud scheme ever in the history of Vietnam. The trial underscores the ongoing challenges faced by Vietnam in its fight against corruption within elite circles. Well, putting her to death and probably letting the whole country watch as it's done should be a significant deterrent.
We should be able to get that on pay-per-view.
Maybe.
I'll tell you what, back in the day, that was the thing. These public executions were something that was common.
Right here, Bloody Angola. We'll tell you about the first one ever in the state of Louisiana. Held right here in Livingston Parish at the old courthouse.
Yep. They didn't have pay-per-view, though.
No.
None of that.
Probably have popcorn there.
All right, we're going to Nebraska. And Nebraska. Look, these teachers.
Jim's hitting some rare states today.
North Dakota, include everybody.
I've driven through all those.
That's right. Tim Couch.
That was
Eric Crouch. Eric Crouch. Tim Couch was.
Oh, you're going
Kentucky.
Right.
Dave Remington. Remington.
Okay. Remington Steel.
Well, I'll tell you this one right here, no laughing matter. A Nebraska teacher was arrested on April 13th after police caught her undressed in a car with a teenager.
It's a no-no.
At 2:49 p.m. on that day, the Douglas County Sheriff's Office received a call about a suspicious vehicle parked on a dead-end street. The deputies found the car, a gray 2015 Honda Pilot, and two people in the back seat. One of the people inside quickly got into the driver's seat and drove away, crashing into a yard two blocks away. The driver, which was a teenage male, got out of the car wearing no clothes and fled on foot. Deputies spoke to the other person in the car, which was an adult female identified as Aaron Ward, who was putting her clothes on in the back seat. When deputies found an Omaha Public School employee ID in the SUV, Ward confirmed she was a substitute teacher at OPS Burke High School and two other local schools. Ward also admitted to having sexual intercourse with the driver, who was a 17-year-old male student at Burke High School. Ward and her spouse owned the vehicle. Shortly after 4 p.m., deputies found the 17-year-old in a nearby neighborhood wearing boxer shorts, a T-shirt, and socks. He was transported to a safe place to receive care and be interviewed. Ward and the teen, whose identity is not made public because of his age, were given minor medical attention for injuries they sustained in the crash and when the teen was fleeing on foot. The sheriff's office confirmed that Ward was that employee at that school. She was arrested and charged with one count of felony sexual abuse by a school employee. This is becoming super common, it seems.
And a divorce lawyer in that town just got a retainer.
Yeah.
Because the husband and her own the pilot together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
That's fucking stupid.
Well, he might have approved of her behavior. I doubt it.
Man,
She's cute, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is just becoming a really common thing with these teachers.
Yeah, right? I mean, we had one here recently in Tangipahoa Parish. They got impregnated.
Yes.
I'm like, yes. Pretty sure I can tell
good
you what
teachers in this
that,
world yeah. that are like, WTF. No, man. Yeah. What are y'all
good,
doing?
Mad in their profession. She's a substitute at three schools. I'm sure that's her grooming grounds. And I'm probably not the first one she's done.
Yeah.
Or either that or that 17-year-old had mad game.
Why did the car crash? I don't get that.
Because he hauled ass.
Driving naked.
Is that harder?
It is, actually.
Trying to get away from the police.
It's more difficult.
With the police chasing him?
Every time I turn the steering wheel, I hit myself in the ding.
And you haul ass, and then they're not just going to let you get away.
Yeah.
They're going to chase him.
Okay.
He wasn't a highly trained professional.
Yeah, he might have only been driving. Like, he probably only had a permit or something.
Yeah. He permitted her.
Well, you guys remember that sweet couple that operated the Colorado Springs Green Funeral Home and improperly stored 190 decaying corpses?
We not only do we remember, we feel quite confident you're going to tell us all about it again.
Well, I'm going to tell you something else about them.
All right.
They're facing new charges, additional charges.
Oh, there you go.
John Halford, 44, and Carrie Halford, 47, are being accused of spending nearly $900,000 in COVID-19 relief funds on personal expenses. The Halfords each face 13 counts of wire fraud and 2 counts of conspiracy to commit wire fraud in connection with the alleged scheme, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office in the District of Colorado. John and Carrie are set to be arraigned, actually, as we are listening to this today. The owners of Return to Nature Funeral Home are accused of using $882,300 in pandemic relief loans for personal items. In case you've forgotten, the U.S. government provided billions in what were called PPE loans.
Yeah, not to me.
And the purpose of those loans was to assist businesses that were retaining employees through the pandemic, that we're holding on to people that they wouldn't otherwise have held on because business was bad, right? Well, business was bad in most sectors, but can you think of one where business wasn't bad during the pandemic?
Death.
Yeah. So
shout out Parish Forensic, Louisiana Funeral Services, Roy and Sue Christens.
So I can think of a few industries whose business grew during the pandemic, but a real life, real crime daily iTeam investigation uncovered that at least one industry did thrive during the pandemic, funeral services. In fact, the iTeam caught up with Kristen and Kristen of Louisiana Funeral Services and Pet Crematory, who said, quote, "We both got boob jobs and Porsches during the pandemic." They didn't say that, but I did get permission from them to. The Halfords used nearly $900,000 they got from taxpayers on new vehicles, multiple vacations, entertainment, dining, tuition for a minor child, cryptocurrency, a cosmetic medical procedure, might have been boob job, jewelry, and merchandise from Amazon, according to the indictment. From on or about March 30th, 2020, through about October 20th of 2021, the Halfords worked together to prepare and submit loan documentation, which contained materially false representations, the indictment alleges. During the application process, the couple falsified that they were not engaged in any illegal activity other than dumping 190 corpses around the property. Remember, the prior indictment against the Halfords accused them of collecting more than $130,000 from families for cremation or burial services that they never provided, and filing false death certificates, providing decedent's family members, friends, or next of kin with urns filled with dry concrete mix instead of the actual cremation remains. So all of this falls on top of it. So, folks, this is all an example of very, very poor service in the funeral services industry. But I can tell you about a place that sits right under a big American flag in Broussard, Louisiana, that provides simply the best and most compassionate funeral and cremation related services on earth. And when it's time for you to go see our friends, go see Roy, Kristen, and Kristen. You can check them out at lafuneralservices.com or lapetcrematory.com. And remember what they say.
Rest easy. And one more thing on that. Y'all, you know, we got to go, tour facilities and everything else and record from there. These people are legit. And it's not just a commercial anymore for us. I can tell you, we care about Roy and Kristen and Kristen and all the people that are there. They're great. And if you need that shit, then that's the place you need to go.
The faces of you two when I said they got boob jobs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, no fucking way we're putting that on there. And by the way, I don't know what they drive, but I didn't see any Porsches parked in the parking lot. They're not making a killing, no pun intended.
There you go. Well, we're going to keep it in Louisiana for this one.
All right, back home.
New Orleans, and a woman is dead. 11 more people are injured following a mass shooting outside of a New Orleans nightclub just before midnight on Sunday, April 14th. At that time, shots rang out. This was on the 800 block of South Peter Street. The shooting occurred at Republic Nola, a popular nightclub in the city's warehouse district. All victims of the shootings were adults. At a nearby hotel, Kelsey Holt, who was of Nashville, she awoke to the sound of six or seven gunshots, and she said from her window, she saw 30 or 40 people pouring out of the club. Some fled down the street while others propped themselves against the club's exterior. Now, responding officers found one woman fatally shot lying on the sidewalk. Four bullets had riddled through the club's padlocked doors. A car parked near the nightclub also had been hit by gunfire. Police have not yet identified a shooter or shooters involved in the incident or even a motive. Some of the six women and five men injured in Sunday's shooting were taken to a local hospital by EMS, while others were actually driven there by civilians. Now, Louisiana has seen 8 mass shootings so far this year. There's a site called Gun Violence Archive. It keeps state-by-state statistics on shootings. And it defines a mass shooting as a shooting in which four or more people are injured, excluding the shooter. So let's talk about this. Now, there's a new presence in New Orleans with Troop NOLA being instituted, and that should help matters. But crime in Louisiana, especially in the city of Baton Rouge, is fast rising. Already 38 homicides this year, which is the same total that Baton Rouge was at in 2021, which was a record year for homicides in Baton Rouge. What is going on with the crime?
There's no respect. Everything's out of control. But hopefully, like we talked in the last episode, that they're going to start targeting.
Yeah, they started else. Those units.
You know, the I'm going to go back just slight. I think I had just started Real Life Real Crime, and I was doing defense consulting work still. I had a mass shooting on Bourbon Street just like this, and our client got arrested as like 100 people in the crowd, and some people they picked out, and he was actually from Lafayette. And shout out to our Lafayette fans who said we didn't cover whatever story, some kids got killed or shootings last week. We can't cover everything, but they get him, put him in on however many counts of first-degree murder, and I went and investigated the case, and turned out it was actually another guy had pulled the gun first. This guy pulls the gun in actual self-defense, and they were both from Lafayette. Neither one was from New Orleans. But it's just like, you know, I'm going to pull a gun, you pull a gun, or you threaten me with a gun, I'm going to shoot everybody up. And yeah. So I ended up getting them off and making it self-defense. But like this case, and the crime and the murder rate's going up, it's no respect. Yeah, and then one kills one, and then they're going to come back and retaliate and kill two, and just
yeah, I think that's definitely a big part of it. But I would also say the policing, you don't have the amount of officers that you used to have policing the streets,
right.
Not focusing on the gangs, which Baton Rouge specifically has not been doing prior to this. I mean, things get out of hand, out of control.
Well, the officers are underpaid, overworked, and they don't have the respect like we used to have.
Yeah.
And everybody's got a camera and only wants to show the bad side.
The deterrent is not there, right?
Yep.
The deterrent is not what the deterrent has been, in prior decades and even just a few years ago. And look, there is an impact a bad economy has on crime. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about this economy being good. Well, if you're in the top 1%, the economy is good because this is an economy where we've seen great expansion in Wall Street. So people who are holding tons of equity are seeing portfolios grow, but when you get outside of the bubble of that top 1%, this is not a good economy. And especially toward the lower middle class and below, it is as big a struggle as it has ever been historically. And you're always going to have increased crime when that's the case. It's a bunch of factors coming together, but it's scary, and it's scary for the officers as well. I mean, okay, we're going to go to Ohio.
Buckeye State. Brian Bosworth.
Listen. Brian Bosworth. That's Oklahoma. That's Oklahoma.
It's okay. Close enough.
You're trying to come up with an Ohio State.
Joe Burrow.
That's what I'm trying to
Joe Burrow. Before yeah, transferred yeah, to LSU.
That's true.
Sure did.
Yes, it does.
No, Burrow is LSU.
He said he went to school at Ohio State. He played football at LSU.
Ooh,
okay, good. I like that's good. Quote. That's good. Jack Nicklaus.
The Golden Bear. I mean, that's a little bit before my time to know where the fuck he went to college, but I know him as a
Who's the running back who was on the Cowboys forever?
Emmitt Smith.
No. Recently, that they just got rid of.
Oh, yeah.
The one that was always doing the feed him.
Feed him.
I forget. He's an Ohio State guy. The quarterback on the Bears was an Ohio State. There are lots of Ohio State guys out there. We just did a horrible job of coming up with Ohio State people. BYU, Jim McMahon.
Yeah,
BYU.
He was.
Okay, so a 61-year-old Uber driver in Ohio was shot and killed by an 81-year-old man who was under the false belief that she was involved in an effort to scam him. So here's how this thing went down. William Brock, this is back on March 25, William Brock called the Clark County Sheriff's Office and reported that he had shot a woman, and this is all according to the police affidavit. Brock allegedly told authorities that, quote, a male on the phone threatened him and his family. And when Lolitha Hall, an Uber driver, arrived at his home, Brock thought she was going to harm him. However, upon investigation, the authorities determined that Hall was not associated with the male on the phone, nor was she a threat to Brock. On April 10th, Brock was arrested and charged with murder. He pleaded not guilty, and his bond was set at $200,000. Hall, who was shot several times, was transported to a local hospital where she died from her injuries. When the authorities arrived at Brock's home, which is in a town called South Charleston, Ohio, they found Hall suffering from multiple gunshot wounds, and Hall was unarmed when Brock shot her. Lieutenant Christopher Schultz of the Clark County Sheriff's Office said that Brock had received a scam call earlier that day from a person purporting to be someone from our courts who informed him that a family member was incarcerated and that he had a bond of a significant amount of money. The calls turned from, I'm an officer in the court, to we have this subject hostage. This is a ransom demand, Schultz said. According to NBC News, an Uber was then requested by the scam caller or someone associated with the scam caller using the Uber app, which sent Hall to Brock's home. So it's like the scammer was attempting to use Uber to get the money from this guy, Brock, but without the Uber driver knowing that they were a part of this scam. So when she arrived at Brock's home, he confronted her, asking her who she was working with. He then took her cell phone away from her and blocked her from exiting. And then somehow things escalated and he allegedly shot her three times. And only after the third time did he actually call 911. So an Uber spokesperson said, this is a horrific tragedy and our hearts continue to be with Lolitha's loved ones as they grieve. We have been in contact with law enforcement and remain committed to supporting the investigation. Hall was a Columbus, Ohio native. She survived by her 33-year-old son, Mario. What a stupid, tragic way to go.
I saw a photo online this morning that had the guy actually holding the pistol and the victim standing there.
Old school
there.
Six shooter.
Yeah. So I imagine they have the whole thing. It's horrible.
Shame. Yeah, it really is.
Awful. But you know what's not awful that's coming up?
What's that?
Awkward transition here. Mother's Day.
Yeah.
On your calendar, because you do celebrate that one.
I will absolutely take care of my mother on Mother's Day.
Okay. Well,
you know what?
Go ahead.
My mama likes to do berries, and I would take her out on the property, and if they're ripe enough, we'll pick dewberries.
Dewberries?
Yeah, that's a southern thing. They're kind of like blackberries, but they grow in briar patches, and they're really sweet. And you put them in a glass of milk with some sugar, or in a cobbler or whatever. Or I would take my mom.
Is there something else they call them besides dewberries?
Dewberries.
They're dewberries.
They look like blackberries, but they're a whole lot sweeter.
Yeah, that's bad branding, though. You know, dew.
Blacker the berries?
I didn't make it up.
They should have come up with something different.
I'm sure this has been around for hundreds of years, Mike, before they were thinking about branding.
Okay, well, look, last time we were trying to come up with good gifts for Valentine's Day and a way to get you guys good deal opportunities for Valentine's Day. That kind of, in all honesty, fell on its face. We didn't get a lot of uptake on that. But undeterred, we went out and found a couple of things on some future episodes, we'll share a couple of those. But the one I want to talk to you about today is a company called Eric Javits. It's E-R-I-C-J-A-V-I-T-S, ericjavits.com. And this guy, Javits, is a designer who designs hats and bags that are really elegant, luxury items. They are normally incredibly expensive and found in, you know, the Neiman Marcus, Saks, Nordstrom,
Rodeo Drive,
Bergdorf Goodman, those kinds of stores. If you're like me, I hate the hat my wife wears in the sun. She has this sun hat that she has had for years that's just awful. She know, I tell her every time she wears it. So this is not going to be
so
a shock.
So now break out your wallet.
So I'm happy to break out my wallet with the help of the discount that Eric Javits is offering our listeners. But if you go to the site, and again, it's E-R-I-C-J-A-V-I-T-S, ericjavits.com. We'll put something in the show notes. You will see just some incredible, it's mostly hats, but they do other stuff related to beach, bags, and things like that. But their hats are incredible. They've got this patented process called Squishy that is a material that allows hats to pack easily without losing their shape or style. So they bounce right back after you pack them. These things are gorgeous visors and other hats, and with our code RLRC, you'll get a 20% discount from whatever the price is. So if you find a hat you like, or your husband, boyfriend, significant other finds a hat they like for you at that's already been discounted, that's okay. You get an extra 20% on top of that discount. And so these hats that may normally be out of reach.
Hey, y'all, may be in reach. I know you're tired of listening to Mike Agravina talk. and so I'm going to interrupt and say this. He's not full of shit on this one. I actually, we looked this up. He showed it to me ahead of time. It's really cool. And one of the chick flicks I never watched, Sex in the City, that, Samantha on there.
Kim Cattrall. Yeah.
And wore it, model, you know, runway models have worn it. They last. Look, they are, you know, they would normally be considered a little bit pricey, but like Mike said, whatever discount they have on the sites, you get another 20% off of code RRC. And look, they got some fine ass shit. They got some, the one on there, you can go look at it and see. I wouldn't be caught dead with somebody wearing it. And it costs way tons of money. And I tell Mike that person has more money than sense. But the rest of them, I'm down with them. And I think it's a cool product. And, you know, they have sun protection and UV protection in the hats and all that kind of stuff. You want to be styling and profiling at the beach this summer and the pool
Rick
season
Flair.
This summer.
Woo!
Woo!
Look, it's go. A chance to get into a really high-end item at a great price point. So yeah. Check it out, ericjavits.com.
ericjavits.com, code RLR.
So is it a code or they just put a slash, y'all?
No, it's all. You have to put the promo code RLRC in at checkout.
Yep. Check it out.
Check it out.
Let us know what you think.
They stole what?
What they steal, Jim Chapman?
Well, you ever had someone steal your mail?
If sure. I did, I didn't know sure. about it.
I've had suspicions someone stole my mail. I don't have
I had used to have pounds of weed shipped to me by UPS, and sometimes the box wouldn't show up. Does that count?
Yes.
That would count.
Pounds of weed would be...
Just kidding, y'all.
Well, I'm going to tell you about a 63-year-old Floridian, and he had a problem. He suspected his mail was getting stolen, so he came up with, kind of hatched a plan to try to catch the people. His name was Nicholas Dibble, and this guy suspected that mail was swiped in retaliation by his neighbors, who were upset that he had called police about criminal activities in his Bradenton neighborhood. So Dibble referred to the drug dealer across the street as his across the street neighbor,
right.
And a woman who runs a House of Prostitution as his next door neighbor. House of Prostitution. That sounds like house. A great business. Dibble has lived in the neighborhood for 25 years, and he added that he worked nearly 40 years as a meat cutter for the Publix supermarket chain.
Yeah.
Now, in what must have seemed as a brilliant idea at the time, Dibble places a mousetrap inside of that mailbox, and he raises the flag. Now, obviously, the goal there is to catch someone stealing the mail. So Dibble, he thought about his mail carrier, and he's like, I need to make this lady aware of my plan so that nothing happens. And it didn't go exactly as planned. Cynthia Smith, who is this 37-year-old postal worker, she came a different route in time on that particular day than she normally comes. When she reached into the mailbox to get that outgoing mail, her hand slammed into the mousetrap. Mm-hmm. Smith, who suffered pain and throbbing in her hand, told police that her hand had just recently been broken.
Really?
That's bad timing.
Broken.
Stick your hand in the mousetrap. When police arrived at Dibble's residence, he was in danger of being arrested for battery. But Dibble said, the sweet woman did not want to file charges against me. Asked about the execution of the mousetrap, Riddle said, well, it caught the wrong person.
No doubt.
No doubt. Now, while not facing criminal charges, Dibble's mousetrap stunt resulted in a swift sanction from the U.S. Postal Service, and employees are no longer able to deliver mail to his residence.
They cut him off.
They cut him off.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, my parents would have a heart attack. I mean, first of all, email, you know, is email. Everybody has it now, right? But every time I go over there and check their mailbox, and they got a big-ass mailbox. That's some bitch just filled at the top. I'm like, who gets this much mail?
And it's all junk, right?
Yeah, yeah, 99% of it. Yeah. Mice traps, boy, I had a problem recently. When the weather changed, it only happens like once a year when it goes from like cold to, you know,
the 80s. Warm front.
Fucking mice came in the country place. The mice came in and just, lady had come and clean. Everything was clean and just fucking everywhere. On my bedside table, I had my shit. I'm like, what? Look, I got in my bed. And I do like taco burrito middle of the night underneath my fucking covers. The mouse came underneath my covers and went across my legs. I'm jumping up into the roof. I'm like, it's on now, bitches. And so I went to the store and I bought some fancy poisons type of room. And they get in and go die. And evidently, that shit, then they were shitting on top of the poison box.
Oh, man.
So I went back and I said, get me the old school fucking mice traps, right?
Yeah.
I saw I got 10 of them.
Yeah.
And you don't want to bait them with cheese, because I did that, and I couldn't figure out how I wasn't catching any, because they can get away with picking the cheese. So sure. I watched the YouTube, peanut butter. But I went, and then look,
they gotta work, let me tell you something.
Then some bitches are dangerous. You got to pull them back and hold them back and put your peanut butter on, and you got this little stick you got to slit, and it won't. You got to let up. 9 times out of 10, that stick kicks out.
Yeah.
And you're waiting on the thing to flip back on you. But anyway, I got upset. I killed 7.
Come on.
Seven. It was like deer hunt. Deer hunt. I'm in there watching TV. Before, I watch the TV and I put it on mute, and somebody call or whatever, put it on mute, and I can hear the fucking mice in the cabinet.
Oh, shit.
And now, pop. And got another one.
Damn. Anyway,
I don't know.
They cook up nice, though, don't they?
That's, you know what? If I was starving, I'd eat it.
Yeah.
I'm not starving.
Nope.
I'm a little bit better hunter than that.
That's right. Well, that is.
Shit. Yeah, they stole one.
They stole what?
If I had a mouse the size of a squirrel, I'd just move out.
I've seen a few.
Now, I'm talking about rats. I don't fucking remember.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, glad that, the bed with
that nutria didn't climb across my bed. That would have been
that mice knows me intimately.
Really?
It's seen my junk.
Holy smokes. Might be why it's still hanging out.
And eating my food. That's the only reason I'm talking about it.
Yeah.
Remember I told you my rules?
Yeah.
I'm feeding it. It's been in my bed.
Yeah.
See me next.
Good point. Very good boy.
What happened to the other three if there were 10? I mean, you scared the shit out of I'll
get back today. I bet you there'll be a bunch more because I put Skippy peanut butter on them motherfuckers. I can't stand it.
Mm-mm. God. Okay. We got a dummy. We unfortunately got a dummy who's not around to talk about it anymore. But we're going to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Myrtle Beach. Pretty weird.
Kenny Powers.
A man attempted to descend the exterior of a hotel called the Myrtle Beach Hotel, and he did this after gunfire erupted in the hotel, and he ended up falling to his death.
Nothing clears a room like a little gunfire.
Jorge Orellana, age 27, died that morning from massive trauma to his upper body, according to Chief Deputy Coroner Tamara Willard. Orellana was from Hendersonville, North Carolina, about 5-hour drive from Myrtle. The Myrtle PD said that officers responded to reports of a disturbance on the sixth floor of the Hotel Blue. This was around 1:30 on Sunday.
Hello, buddy.
What's that? Nothing. My man's dead.
I'm sorry. So you're right. Jorge's dead.
Okay. We just took his hat off. Move that flag to half mast, please. Police said several shots were fired inside the hotel room following a disturbance, but fortunately no one was injured. Police said that the participants of the disturbance tried to leave the hotel room and one of the males exited through the balcony and was seen attempting to climb down the rear of the building. The three-star Seaside Hotel, well, I bet it's a two. It's a two-star now.
What was the name?
The Blue. What did I say?
Hotel Blue.
Hotel Blue.
Because it owed money.
He needed the money.
It has private balconies hanging off of every room, and it seems like there would be a logical path to be able to climb down without having to be in some kind of fantastic shape or take tremendous strength. But for some reason, this guy lost his balance before he even got to the fifth floor. And so he fell a full five stories down. Orellana was rushed to the Grand Strand Regional Medical Center, but he died from his injuries. And police are investigating this thing, whatever there is to investigate, but it just...
Was he the shooter?
No, he was in this room.
He's running from the shooter.
It's a bizarre thing where some argument started, but they're not even saying who it was between. Other than it wasn't him, he was just running away from it, and he decided to run by going outside.
You are really disrespecting him because you have him as a dumb criminal. He's just a victim.
Well, he has a rap sheet. So
sorry for laughing, Jorge.
But Jorge has left us after a five-story fall.
Thought maybe he was a shooter. Dumb criminal. Not him, Jorge.
Dumb criminal or a really bad climber, or both.
Yes.
All right. That brings us to the end of another episode.
It's kind of a unique episode. It was a little bit of difference in there.
And we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Please continue to like and share and all that good podcaster shit, right?
Yeah, and Livy, as an honorary aglet, you can reach out if you want some counseling on, you know, what's in front of you and how to navigate through all this stuff. I'd be happy to help.
Now you're being sexist. Why didn't you offer the same thing to Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm already working with Caitlin.
All right. Yeah, well, good
actually,
for you.
Truth be known, I'm a bigger Caitlin fan than I am a Livy fan. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Everton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
Your host of Real Life Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Aglets.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.